Amen. Well, please take your Bibles then at this time, and if you'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. You'll find that on page 964 in your pew Bibles. So our message series is called Praying For. And so over the past several weeks, we've been looking at praying for things in general, and then specifically, we've looked at praying for forgiveness, praying for healing, praying for spiritual victory over sin, praying for church and family, praying for the lost. And I hope you've really found this this series helpful, not only knowing what to pray for, but also how to pray for these various things. And so today we're coming to the very last message in our series now. Today we're going to be talking about praying for missions. And we're going to look at a number of passages in the Bible today as we work our way through this topic. But we're going to begin right here in Matthew chapter 9 in verses 35 through 38. So would you please stand with me at this time for the reading of God's Word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Father, as we come to this time of this service where we now open your word and open our hearts to your word, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our hearts about missions and the gospel and prayer and our part in all that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today we're talking about praying for missions, our last topic in our series. And you may have noticed that the scope of our prayers has broadened as we've gone through the series. Did you notice that? We started off praying for personal things like forgiveness and healing and victory over sin. And then we widened the scope, right, when we talked about praying for church and family. And then we widened it even further when we talked about praying for the lost people around us, the various people that God has brought into our lives. Well, now we're going to open it up all the way, right, all the way up, as we talk about praying for missions around the world. And of course, the broader you go, the harder it is to pray. Have you ever noticed that? It's easy to pray for yourself and for your family. A little harder to remember to pray for your church. Still harder to pray for the lost people around you. But hardest of all, to pray for people in countries that you don't even know, and to pray for them. It's hard to think about praying for the world when you're going through so many things on just a personal level, right? But God wants us to be a part of the big picture of all that he's doing in the world. I like the way John Stott puts it. He said, "We must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God." And one of the best ways we can accomplish this is through our prayers. James Frazier said, "I believe it will only be known on the last day how much has been accomplished in overseas missions by the prayers of earnest believers at home." Bottom line, we cannot do missions without prayer. And your prayers do, in fact, make a difference. Of course, it can be overwhelming when you think about praying for the whole world. You know, how do I even do that? Do I get up and say, "Dear God, please bless the world today"? Well, I suppose you could do that, but surely there's more to it than that, right? How do you pray for the whole world? That's what our whole message is about today, is to help us with that. And together, we're going to look at three areas of need this morning, all relating to missions. We'll look at those three areas of need, and then we're going to look at some very practical ways that you can build praying for missions and praying for the world into your prayer life. There is an outline to the message in your bulletin today. It has the three areas of need we'll be looking at. It has some scriptures. It has areas where you can jot down some notes as you go along. And I would encourage you to take that out and to follow along. But let's get started. First area of need we're going to look at today. First area of need relating to missions and prayer is the need for the gospel. The need for the gospel. Let's break this down now. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and are in need of salvation. Right? We read in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so sin is not simply a personal problem. Sin is not a localized problem. Sin is a worldwide problem, and therefore it requires a worldwide solution. And it's not just that everyone sins, but the Bible tells us that everyone who sins will be judged for their sins. And we read about the great white throne of judgment in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, John, sees this in a vision. He writes, "And I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, all of the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And people, there is the need for the gospel right there. Sin is followed by judgment. We've just learned all have sinned, right? And therefore all will be judged. And only those whose names are found written in the book of life, only they will be saved. The gospel is good news, right? But as theologian Carl Henry once said, it's only good news if it gets there in time, right? Everyone who sins needs salvation, and everyone has sinned. All have sinned and need salvation. We need to share the good news of Jesus with them. Why? Because Jesus is the only Savior for the world. He's the only Savior. Jesus said this in John 14:6. He said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Or we read in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's a big world out there, right? There's a lot of religions. There are a lot of beliefs in different gods. But there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus. So we need to bring the gospel into all the world because Jesus is the only Savior for the world. Not only that, but God wants people saved from all the nations. From all nations, not just one nation, not just a few nations. God wants people saved from all nations. We read this verse from Isaiah a little bit earlier in the service, but I want to go back to it now. God says this to Jesus in Isaiah 49:6. He's speaking prophetically to Christ here. He says this, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept," right? That would just be one nation, right? He says, that's too small a thing. He said, "No, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, the rest of the nations," right? "That you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." What is this verse saying in Isaiah? That God is too great a God, and Jesus is too great a Savior for only a few people to be saved from a few nations. Our God is a great God, and he is worthy of eternal worshipers from every nation across the earth. John 3:16 says this. You know the verse, right? "For God so loved the world," right? "The world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves the world. God loves all peoples from all nations. God sent his son Jesus so that people from all nations would be saved. Oswald Smith observed, he says, we talk of the second coming, but half the world has never heard of the first coming. You see, that is the need for the gospel. All have sinned are in need of salvation. Jesus is the only Savior for the world. God wants people saved from all nations. And so we must bring the gospel to all the nations. So that's the first need we're looking at this morning, the need for the gospel. Secondly, the second need now, there is the need for workers. The need for workers. Jesus tells us to go into all the world with the gospel. Right? We find Jesus' great commission. That's what we call it, the great commission to the church. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice what the Great Commission does not say. The Great Commission is not, therefore, stay and make disciples of all your own people, right? That's not the Great Commission. No, it's go and make disciples of all nations. Now, it's important that we make disciples here at home too, right? But then what does Jesus tell us? He says, go into all the world. Or in Luke 24, when Jesus he's risen from the dead, he's walking with his disciples along the road to Emmaus. They're not even sure who he is yet. Jesus says this, Luke chapter 24, he says, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. You are witnesses of these things. Later on, Jesus tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, when Jesus tells us that we are to be his witnesses, he's not simply talking about witnesses who have seen or experienced something. No, he's talking about witnesses who actually speak, who speak out, who give testimony, witnesses who speak and share what they know with others. And so the mission of the church is a global mission. We are to be witnesses, speaking witnesses of Christ's death in resurrection to all the nations, to the ends of the earth. You might say, well, that's a really big job. Absolutely, it's a huge task. There's a reason why we call it what? The Great Commission. Jesus says, go into all the world, and therefore, that means we need people who are willing to go. We need workers. And that's what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 9. That's where we started this morning. Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And so we need workers who are willing to go into the harvest field of the world and share the gospel with those who have never heard about Jesus. Because how can they believe in Jesus and be saved if they've never heard of Jesus? If they've never even heard of the first coming of Christ? And that's Paul's argument in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10. Now let me read it to you, verses 13 to 15. Paul starts off, he says, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Everyone, no exceptions. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he notes the progression here. He says, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want you all to do something for me for a moment. Ready? Can you do this? I want you all to look down at your feet. Take a look at your feet, okay? Take a look at them. I'm looking at mine. You're looking at yours. Okay. Do you have beautiful feet? Or do you have ugly feet? right? Beautiful feet, ugly feet. You know who's got beautiful feet? Those who bring good news. Those who go and share the gospel with others. And why is that? Because people can't be saved unless they believe. And they can't believe unless they hear, and they cannot hear unless someone tells them, and we cannot tell them unless we go. I don't want to have ugly feet. I want to have beautiful feet, right? I want to tell people about Jesus because people need Jesus. People need to hear the good news of Jesus if they're going to be saved. So Jesus tells us, he says, go into all the world. The task is great. And so we need people who are willing to go. Steve Moore puts it this way, the Great Commission is too big for anyone to accomplish alone and too important not to try to do together. And we cannot fulfill the Great Commission without a great number of workers who are willing to bring the good news of Jesus to those who have never heard of Jesus. So we have the need for the gospel. We've looked at that. There's the need for workers, which leads us right into our third point this morning, the need for prayer. The Great Commission is too big a task for us to do without God's help. A.B. Simpson, the great missionary pastor, said, prayer is the mighty engine that is to move the missionary work. Just as you can't move a train forward without the engine, in the same way you cannot move missions forward without the engine of prayer. And so we need to pray for missions. And that's what we want to look at now, is just some practical ways. How do we do this? I want to share with you a number of ways that you can very practically make praying for missions a regular part of your prayer life. So how do we go about that? Well, first of all, one thing you can do is you can pray various scriptures relating to missions. Anytime you can pray scripture for something, that's a good thing. For example, you can pray the Lord's Prayer for missions, right? The Lord's Prayer starts out how? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's three prayers for missions right there in those verses, right? This is a prayer, first of all, for God's name to be honored over all the earth. It is a prayer for God's kingdom to be spread over all the earth. And it is a prayer for God's will to be done over all the earth. And that can only take place as the gospel goes forth into all the earth. So you can pray the Lord's Prayer for missions. This is probably a great place to start. If you've never made praying for missions a regular part of your prayer life, start here. And whether you're going to do it once a day or a couple times a week or once a week, at least once a week, just say, I am going to pray the Lord's Prayer for missions. I'm going to start somewhere. I can do this. We can all do that. Another prayer you can pray is from Matthew 9:38. We looked at it earlier. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There's a prayer you can pray. And say, Lord, please send out workers. Raise up workers who bring the gospel to every nation in the world. Ask God to raise up workers from all over the place. Ask God to raise up workers right here, right out of our own church, right here from Plantation Community. Lord, raise up workers from our church who will be willing to go wherever you call them. There are also some very beautiful passages in Revelation that you can pray. Passages which speak about people from all of the nations worshiping God in heaven. For example, we read these words in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Speaking to Christ here, it says, with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And then again in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, John, in his vision, he says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. And to the Lamb. When you read those verses and you pray those verses, folks, this is the end game, isn't it? This is what it's all about. This is what everything is moving towards. This is why Christ came. Jesus died for people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And so as you read these beautiful passages and say, God, this is going to happen. We pray for this to happen. Pray for the gospel to go into all the world so that people from every nation, tribe, people, and language will be in heaven. They will be saved for God's glory. So that's the first thing you can do in praying for missions. Pray some for various scriptures relating to missions. Second thing you can do is you can pray for your church's own missionaries. And I hope you do this already, but if not, you can start. There's a lot of ways you can do this. Okay, let me share four of them with you. Four ways you can pray for missionaries from our church. First of all, you can use the list of missionaries that is on our church prayer list that we publish each week. We've talked about this before. As you walk out today, you see either in the literature rack or in the round table a prayer list. We publish that each week. We update it with prayer needs of our own congregation. It's a way so you can be praying for your church. Remember, we talked about praying for church and family. But on that, you'll also see a list of all of our missionaries. And so they're right there. So that's one way you can pray for our missionaries. A second thing you can do is you can take one of our mission brochures, also out in the literature rack there. We have a nice brochure, a trifold brochure. You open it up. And it lists all the missionaries that we support as a church. It has a brief little paragraph with information about who they are and where they're serving and what they're doing. If you don't have one, I'd encourage you to take one. Empty us out. We'll print up some more. Take it. Put it in your Bible. Use it as your bookmark. You know. So when you open up your Bible to read, you open it up, you go, oh, my missionary prayer brochure. And you can pray for our missionaries. Thirdly, you can write down our missionary prayer focus each week. Remember, we do that every week here. We have a missionary prayer focus and pray specifically for that mission during your daily prayer times. So, for example, what's our missionary prayer focus for this week? Samaritan's Purse, that's right. We just prayed for them in the church service. And you can pray for them each week. Take that brochure, put a little sticky note on the top and say, Samaritan's Purse. You know which one it is. You open up your Bible to read. There's the brochure. Open up the Samaritan's Purse and pray for them. It's that simple. Fourthly, once a quarter, we publish a missionary newsletter. You go, well, what's that all about? Well, every month or so, our missionaries are writing to us. And they're saying, praise God, he's doing this. And, oh, man, we need help here. And, oh, can your church please be praying for these requests? And our missions committee, we pray for those things. But we would like everyone to pray for those things. So what do? Every quarter, we take all those letters and we compile it into a newsletter with information, current information about each of our missionaries and the specific prayer needs they have right now. We always put it out in the round table, and then it's also in the weekly email, a newsletter. If you're not getting that weekly email, make sure you sign up for one today. You can do it right on the communication card, and you'll get a weekly email. And you go down, you'll see, click here for our missionary prayer newsletter. You go, oh, wow, you click there, whoop, right up in your computer. It'll open right up, and you'll see all of the needs there. So that's four ways that you can pray for your own church's missionaries. You know, so we can, how do we pray for missions? We pray various scriptures for missions. We pray for our own church's missionaries. Number three now, pray for specific nations and unreached people groups. Specific nations and groups of people who've never heard the gospel. You go, well, how do I do that? Do I just spin the globe and, you know, touch a country and pray for it? Well, you could do that. That's better than doing nothing, right? But there's some great resources out there to help you with this. And two that I've found especially helpful over the years are called Operation World and the Joshua Project. Let me just share with you a little bit about each of them. First of all, Operation World. This comes in several different formats. I know not everybody uses computers, right? Not everybody uses a smartphone. Operation World, you can just get it as a book. You can go to Barnes & Noble and say, I'd like to order Operation World. They'll order it for you. You can get it as a book. It lists all the nations of the world with specific prayer requests related to those nations. It has a prayer calendar so that you can pray for a certain nation each day. And you know that other people have that book are praying for that same nation, so you join with them. Or you can go to their website if you do use a computer. Use their prayer calendar there to join with other people in praying for various countries around the world each day. Or you can go to their website, you can sign up for an email. And every day when you open up your email, there'll be an email from Operation World that say, here's today's country. And they'll have the prayer request right there, right in your email. And you can stop and pray for that country along with other people. The Joshua Project, very similar. They have a website. And they detail different unreached people groups around the world. And Just like Operation World, they have a prayer calendar that you can access. You can also sign up for the daily emails. Or, and this is true for both, and this is the way I do it, they're both available as free apps for your smartphone. So I know some of you have smartphones, and you're used to apps on your smartphone. And I like the app versions. I have them both downloaded to my phone. And I like the app versions because, first of all, I use my phone every day anyways, right? So it's always right there with me. And I can sign up for a daily notification, a daily reminder right in my phone. When I wake up, it's just waiting there for me. And I just tap on it, and it opens up, and I can pray for that country or that unreached people group. This morning, the country on Operation World, when I tapped on it, was Australia. Spent a few minutes praying for the country of Australia this morning. Read some things about them and what their needs were. On Joshua Project, tapped that. It was an unreached people group in India called the Mal people. Read about them and their need for the gospel and could spend a few minutes praying for them. It's very simple to do. You just put it together. I figure if I can get notifications from Facebook on my phone each day, surely I can get notifications to pray each day. Why not? Both of these ministries are excellent resources for praying for missions. The main difference between the two of them, and you may have picked up on this already, Operation World focuses more on praying for whole countries at a time. Joshua Project goes a little bit more specific, and you're praying for different unreached people groups within those countries. So, for example, Operation World, you might get to one day where you pray for the whole nation of India. This year, all year long, from January 1st right up till today, in Joshua Project, I've prayed for a different unreached people group in India, because there are so many unreached people groups in India. And so you can pray more specifically for unreached people groups. They're both great resources. I used to use Operation World when I was younger. They didn't have the web things. I had that book, and I'd use that. Lately, I've mostly used the Joshua Project. But they're both great. I'd encourage you to check them both out and say, which one? You know, see which one seems to suit you best. Or you can go back and forth. But whatever resources you use, do this. Please make sure that you are praying for missions. Samuel Zwemer wrote, "The history of missions is the history of answered prayer." Remember, missions does not happen without prayer. So make sure you're praying for different countries and different unreached people groups. And they'll have the prayer request right there for you. You pray for the people. You pray for the workers. You pray for Bible translation if that's the need. You pray for financial resources. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts to bring them to Christ. And then finally, the fourth thing you can do when it comes to praying for missions, gets real personal now, okay? Finally, ask God what he would have you do with regards to missions. See, when it comes to missions, every Christian should be willing to pray, give, or go, or any combination of those three as God calls you. And so in your prayers, talk to God about all three of those options. First of all, ask him and say, God, how can I pray better for missions? What changes would you have me make as a result of this message and how I pray for missions? And then ask God, God, how can I give better for missions? What would you have me give to my church? Because a good percentage, a large percentage of the money in our church goes off to missions. What would you have me give the church? And Lord, are there any specific missionaries to whom you would have me give additional support above and beyond what I give to my church? And then finally, don't leave this one out. Ask God, Lord, where would you have me to go? Where would you have me go? And I don't know how God's going to answer that specific prayer for you. God may tell you to go to a foreign land. He may tell you to go to a foreign nation and to share the gospel with those who've never heard of Christ. Or he may tell you to get involved with a local ministry here in our community that shares the gospel with others, or to get involved with the missions team here at our church. Or he may tell you to go across the street and get to know your neighbor and be a friend to them so you can pray for them and have an opportunity to share Christ with them. Just know this, if God calls you to go to another nation to share the gospel, our church will be first in line to support you in that. I pray that God will raise up people from our church to go to the nations. We should all be willing to pray, give, or go as God calls us. So talk to God about it. Say, God, how would you have me pray, give, and go? And then be willing to do what God tells you to do, to give what God tells you to give and to go where God tells you to go. Worldwide missions is a huge task. It is a team effort. No one can do it alone. We need everyone's help to accomplish the Great Commission. Jesus said, "To whom much has been given, much will be required." And you, if you're a believer this morning, you have been given the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. And that means that you now have the responsibility to share that gift of salvation with others, and especially those who have never heard of Jesus. The worldwide mission of the church is the responsibility of every Christian. And it's not that we don't have the time to pray for missions. I like what John Piper says about prayer. He says, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Ouch, right? That one gets all of us, doesn't it? If prayer is important to us, we will find the time to pray. We must pray. People's lives depend on it. People's eternal lives depend on it. God's glory depends on it. There is a growing movement of Christians around the world who have committed themselves to praying for missions. So my challenge to you this morning is, will you do your part? And will you join in prayer for missions and for a lost world? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. It challenges us. We all know that we could do more in this area. For some of us, we're just beginning. For others, we've been challenged to take this to a deeper level. But Lord, it's easy to pray for the personal things, for the needs in our lives and for our family. And then we learn that, oh, I need to pray for my church as well. And then, oh, I need to pray for lost people around me. And, oh, I need to pray for the world. And yes, we do, Lord. And so we need your help as we begin to build these things into our week and into our prayer lives and write things down and organize and rise to the challenge. Lord, I thank you for the journey we've been on these past 7 weeks in prayer. You've taught us so much on what we need to be praying for and how we can do that and practical ways that we can pray different things for the people around us. Help us now, Lord, as we put it all into practice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.